Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of the Brexit Podcast. I'm your host Jennifer Han, and after the horrible bombing in Manchester last Monday, which saw 22 people killed and many more injured, you would hope that no one would exploit this for their own gains, but of course, both Labour and the Tories took to politicising the issue. Corbyn said in a speech that the war on terror as fought by the Conservatives isn't working, and that UK foreign policy, which has left huge ungoverned spaces in places like Iraq, Afghanistan and Libya, can be correlated to the rise of terrorism. May in turn took to saying that Corbyn is setting blame where it isn't due and isn't up to the job of protecting the country. And of course Boris Johnson had to chip in as well and call Corbyn out for apparently justifying actions of terror, which of course is a gross misrepresentation of what he was saying. But what else is new? It's reassuring, I suppose, to see that our politicians are still not above using a horrible issue like this to try and gain a lead in the polls. Speaking of opportunism, of course everyone's favourite newly irrelevant party, UKIP, has also got something to say on this issue. Leader Paul Nuttall said that May should take on partial responsibility for the attacks, and then said that he wasn't blaming her. And then the Daily Mail also reported that Nuttall called for the death penalty for terrorists and child murderers, saying that he would actually execute them himself. And this is brilliant. He thinks that the burqa should be banned because Muslim women wearing full face veils will not be getting enough vitamin D from sunlight. Isn't it so sweet how much he cares? Anyway, moving on to more actual news. The Guardian reports that the attacks might actually affect Brexit as well, because security experts from the former head of Europol, Max Peter Ratzitz, to Dominic Grieve, who's the Tory chair of the Commons Intelligence and Security Committee, are saying that a deal with the EU is absolutely essential to combat terror going forward. That's, for example, through the membership of bodies such as Europol, which is the EU's criminal intelligence agency, and this is to allow British police access to vital tools that they need for terrorist investigations, such as just databases, European arrest warrants, or just a basic level of investigative cooperation between European countries. Dominic Grieve even said that although, as we've discussed in previous episodes, the Tories do not under any circumstances want to accept EU rules and regulations from the European Court of Justice going forward, that this might have to be something we sort of take on board anyway, just to be in organisations like Europol still, to continue that cooperation, because this is sort of the more important thing. So it'll be quite interesting to see whether the attack will influence negotiations in this way going forward. For the other biggest political news of the week, Theresa May last Monday did a complete U-turn on her social care reform, which, bear with me, this is a bit muddled because politics, but originally in her flagship manifesto policy, thousands of elderly people would have had to fund care in their own home themselves. And of course, this wasn't going to be popular really, because it would force people to pay for things that they aren't currently paying for. But even just on a basic level, this is quite a strange policy for her to suggest, considering how old the Tories' voter base is. So she's really alienating a lot of them with this suggestion. And then initially she sent out Damien Green and Boris Johnson to defend the policy, but then 4 days after announcing it, she did a complete U-turn, saying that there will be both an upper and a lower limit to care costs, so that this isn't completely a free-for-all. And then in a press conference afterwards, she still claimed that it was basically the same policy as before, even though it's obviously the complete opposite. So much for strong and stable leadership, I suppose. A really interesting piece in The Times actually discussed how this is emblematic of a bigger problem with her leadership style, where she sort of listens to those in her inner circle of loyal advisors and what they think, but not to anything anybody else says or what the facts might say. So, for example, the cabinet wasn't at all consulted on this really critical policy, and the author of the article in The Times basically said that she thought this was a bad sign for Brexit negotiations going forward, because these will require flexibility and empathy, and that's not really showing in this. So she called for May to listen to those beyond her leadership team. Which actually brings me into another scoop, which is from the Sunday Times, and they, the sort of small team of aides around Theresa May has been really unified thus far, but this time on this social care issue, this has been the first disagreement we've seen between the top two aides, the chiefs of staff Fiona Hill and Nick Timothy. So it will be incredibly interesting to see whether this sort of wedge will continue to widen or whether there's going to be a unity in that small team around Theresa May again. So we'll have to keep on watching for that. As always, I feel like that's what I say after every news story, we'll have to keep following it, but that is sort of how news works. So that's that. Now it's poll time. We should really make a jingle for this because there are so many polls, all of the polls, all the time. So, by the time campaigning resumed after the Manchester attacks, the Tory lead in the election polls, which was originally at 24 points at the beginning of this month, was cut down to a mere 5 points in the wake of Theresa May's social care U-turn. This is the highest that Labour has been since Jeremy Corbyn has been the head of the party. The Liberal Democrats are also up 1 point to 10%, and UKIP is up 1 to 4%. Overall, of course, it's still up to be decided how much sway the attacks and this social care issue are actually going to hold by the time the election day rolls around. And on a more personal note, Theresa May's approval ratings dropped into negative territory for the first time last Monday to -7% from 10%. Although that's now returned into positive territory as well, which is the issue with polling because obviously everything changes constantly. So why are we even talking about it? Just because it's interesting, really. You want to know, I want to know. Speaking of strange polls, there was also one that asked people which party leader they'd rather have living next to them. So Theresa May was just 1% ahead of Jeremy Corbyn there, with 37 to his 36. So that obviously will mean very little in the election, but I just thought you might care to know. 4.7, fittingly enough, I want to touch a bit on the G7 summit in Sicily, which is where Theresa met the new French president Emmanuel Macron for the first time since his election. For Theresa May, her main focus in this discussion was pushing him to allow Brexit trade and divorce talks to happen simultaneously, which, as we know, has been a massive issue for the UK. While, as we mentioned in our episode breaking down the EU's negotiation guidelines, the EU insists that Britain has to absolutely settle its bill before discussing any trade deals. Macron, on the other hand, focused mainly on residency rights, so of those of EU citizens in the UK and the other way around. So it's quite interesting to see where the different priorities lie there. In related news, UK migration figures for 2016 were announced last week, and it seems like Brexit is already chasing away current and potential immigrants. Overall, 117,000 EU citizens left Britain last year, which is 31,000 more than in 2015. And apparently this is especially true for the 8 Eastern European states that joined into the EU in 2004. So the Czech Republic, Estonia, Latvia, Hungary, Lithuania, Poland, Slovakia, and Slovenia. For these, for people from these countries, immigration fell by 25,000 to 48,000, while immigration rose by 16,000 to 43,000. So I suppose this is good news for May, who's wanting to bring down her immigration figures, but on a more human personal level, I find this incredibly sad. And lastly, it can often seem like there's a lot of talk and nothing actually happening when it comes to Brexit, but now there is actually a date penciled in the diary. June 19th will be the day when negotiators David Davis and Michael Barnier from the UK and the EU respectively will sit down for the first time to begin the 15 months of Brexit negotiations. It's not exactly sure what the sort of structure for this will be. The EU has suggested doing it in 4-week cycles, with each focusing on a different issue. So within one cycle, the first week would be sort of political preparation, the second would be documents being disclosed to either side, the third week would be negotiations, and then the last week would be the EU negotiator for Michael Barnier reporting on the result of the negotiations to the member states. But obviously this process hasn't been agreed by the UK, so sorry to get your hopes up, but it looks like this first talk on the 19th of June will just be another talk about talks, which is a nice change, except not really, because that's sort of all that's been happening. And I think that's it for the Brexit news roundup for this week. Please do check back next Tuesday for another Brexit news roundup that's going to keep you up to date on everything that's been happening, everything that you need to know for your dinner party, coffee conversations. We are always here to have your back. You can also find us at brexitpodcast.com and on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Brexit Podcast. The show is produced by Jennifer Han, Tim Hemming, and Warren Pohl, and our theme song is Cool Vibes by Kevin MacLeod.